Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 36. I was on the fence about pregnancy and all I heard was, scared of commitment, are we? And don't you feel like you're depriving your husband? Now I'm pregnant though, it's your date nights will never be the same, you know. Yeah, I do know. Thanks. But despite deciding to baby, there's still so much more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejectors and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I chat to Marsha, aka the child-free guru, who is child-free by choice.
It's a decent selfishness. It's not a bad selfishness. My life, my choices, not what society says is right.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla. Hello! Now, we need to talk about something that is not related to pregnancies or babies particularly.
But I know exactly what you're going to say.
You think you know someone and then you discover something truly horrifying about them, and honestly I can't even believe that we are blood relatives after finding out this shocking news. Okay, are you ready for this? So Camilla here, who you'll know and love from the podcast, you might not know and love her anymore, well you'll know her but you might not love her, eats her burgers. So imagine you've gone to an amazing burger restaurant and they've built this like fabulous looking juicy burger. Imagine like your dream heavenly burger of choice. That Camilla eats that with a knife and fork. Discuss.
Okay, so look, I'm going to defend myself here. I don't eat my burgers that way. If the burger is of a normal size, I will quite happily handle that burger into my gob, right? If the burger has so many elements that they're literally spilling out the sides, sometimes I might use the help of a knife and fork.
I don't think that that helps the situation. I think if you're eating a dirty burger, you should be getting your hands dirty and getting your face dirty as well. And if you're in that kind of establishment and you are taking a knife and fork to your burger, you should be removed.
Well, after you did tell me, I immediately put my hair up in a ponytail and I went in.
No, but that's the funny thing. That was what made me laugh even more. You put your hair in a ponytail like you were going in for the good stuff and then you use the knife and fork.
No, I didn't. I used it before and I silently put my hair up so that you didn't think I was doing it for you. And I went in.
Honestly, you think you know someone. Eats a dirty burger with a knife and fork.
Oh,
too bloody posh for us, mate.
Shut up.
So I am Marsha Drutt Davis. They called me the child-free pioneer, which literally means I probably walked the planets when the dinosaurs roamed. But I am a proud septuagenarian, which means I'm 77 and have been walking this path for 45 years. I chose never to have or birth my own children back when I was around 34, although I probably chose it way before that, but was afraid to admit it to myself or others.
And so why 34? What happened when you were 34?
I'm so glad you asked. I read a book. And that book literally changed my life. It was called The Baby Trap by Ellen Peck. It was the only book written to have people question, why do they want to have children? Should they have children? And is it okay if you don't have children? I think I devoured it. I just literally ate it up, I think in one day. I presented it to my then husband, and I said, what do you think? And it was as if a weight had lifted off my shoulder. And I became very, very friendly with that author, Ellen Peck. She introduced me to the idea that non-parenting, as it was called then, is a viable option. So I was living on Long Island, and I would go into New York City to meet with her. And together, we worked on the first convention for NON. During that time, there was a producer for 60 Minutes. And that changed my whole life because that producer asked me if I would be willing to converse with my then in-laws because they did not know of our choice. And could they do it that night? Could they do it that night?
Wow. Okay. So how did it go telling the in-laws?
Well, it was an astonishing moment in my life. They sat there transfixed, almost unable to breathe, because you have to understand, as a Jewish woman, not to have children, as it is in many religions, it was considered a shanda, which means a shame. And all my mother-in-law could do was say, well, what happens when you're older and you're all alone? And then she would say, well, why did you get married if you don't want to have children? And then my father-in-law said, well, I could see how you feel that way now. And I'm sure as you mature more, you'll change your mind, because any normal couple would want to welcome a child as a product of their love. It was a 2-hour adventure, I'm going to say, into such gut-wrenching reality as to what I was facing that I never faced before. You know, it's easier to stay in the closet. But when we come out and we share our feelings, people tend to feel they have a right to say to you, you're wrong. And not only are you wrong, you regret it and you're selfish and blah, 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 and you hate kids and how could that be? And it was an astonishing moment. And the next morning, there was a poem. We had stayed over in the house, and there was a poem that was put under our door, and it ended with the words, well, this is how our story ends. Our children, though married, are really just friends. I know. I had the same gasp when I read it.
But you know what's awful? As you're telling me this, in a way, I imagine this was probably just the start of some of the reactions that you were then set to face from other people.
Yes, that's so... You're so spot on. I never knew what pronatalism was. I never had to face the reality and the heartbreak and the stupidity and ignorance of pronatalism. But it threw me into the fire. It just threw me in. Because after that 60 Minutes was aired and Mike Wallace ended that segment saying, pardon our perversion for airing this on Mother's Day. Good night, everyone. So now I was not only selfish, I was perverse. Wait, it gets worse. I was a teacher. How could a teacher not want to have her own children? So I lost my job as a teacher.
No way.
Way. Of course, they never said, you're losing your job because you were on 60 Minutes. I was told by the superintendent of schools, you know, you were the last to be hired, and now we have an excess of teachers, so we just have to let you go.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that.
Well, believe it. Mind you, I also had death threats. I had my dog's life threatened. When I went to speak, there were picketing people that police had to take me across with a sign that were waving saying, godless bitch. This is what I faced, because I just simply said, I don't want to have or raise my own children.
And can I just check? So was this kind of like 80s time?
This was 74.
Okay. Because even now there is 100%, because I know from doing this podcast, but also from my friends' experiences of people who don't want to have children, that there is still the judgment there. But clearly, even going back, which doesn't feel like that far back, the judgment was, whoa, like fierce.
It was fierce. And I have to tell you, and I'm sorry to tell you, it is better. However, internationally, oh my Buddha. You have no idea what goes on in some of the countries on this planet.
Did you ever regret the initial interview that then led to everything else that you did? Or did it have the kind of positives that have come out of it meant that you don't really regret doing it?
One thing I have taught my students over and over is there are no failures. However, lessons, if you let yourself learn. Those lessons that I got about how to repeat yourself in an interview and not to allow them to twist it. those lessons about what pronatalism is and how it affects you, how I watch ads now on TV and see how we are bombarded by ads having nothing to do with children, but who are children are depicted in that ad as being the normalized family. I don't think I could be where I am now speaking to you, having not had that 60 minutes exposure. Mm-hmm. Do I regret what it did to my in-laws? Yes, to a degree. They truly were shocked. They had no clue. In fact, my mother-in-law, when I walked in the house, took me aside and said, okay, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you. I mean, before it starts, just tell me, are you into drugs? And I would say, no, Mom. And she said, okay, wait. Are you a nudie dancer? A pole dancer? No, Mom, that's not it. Group sex. Is it group sex? It's just, I mean, the poor woman was just like, what could this be? So perhaps I wish I had told her a little bit more, had a chance to see whether or not she wanted to do this, but I do not regret what happened.
Do you think she would have been more astounded by group sex or the fact that you didn't want children?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think anything would have had her sucking her thumb in a fetal position. It was bad enough. I don't know. Gee, maybe that got me thinking. No, I think that not having a child was just catastrophic.
Camilla, question. Do you think Mom would have been more shocked if I'd become a nudie dancer or if I had told her, soz Mom, I'm not giving you any grandkids?
I think she would have had very different reactions to both.
It would have been one of those, not angry, I'm disappointed in you.
Deeply disappointed with both.
Yeah. I genuinely think she would have been more upset if I told her that I didn't want to have babies, though.
Yeah, no, she would.
I think that's like a permanent thing, whereas the nudie dance thing, she'd be like, oh, well, it's probably just a phase of Naomi wanting to, like, get on a pole and whack her baps out.
I think the nudie dancer thing, Mum would be more worried about where it was, who might see you, who might find out.
Yeah, true, but I think that'd be easier for her to keep as a dirty little secret than telling her friends that I didn't want to have children.
That's true.
Because then there's like a keeping up with the Joneses thing, isn't there? My grandchildren are doing this. I mean, we would have been fine because you would have had Chester, unless you'd also sacked off the grandkid thing to become a nudie dancer, which honestly, if either of us was going to do it, it would have been you.
Well, I was just going to say, if Mum thought either of us were going to do it, she would have thought it was me, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she's got stripper written all over her, guys.
So haven't at all, and I can't dance.
So, like, on a personal level, you decide and you openly tell the world, effectively, you know, I don't want to have children. This is my choice. Were there any times that you wavered on it and you second-guessed yourself?
Yes, and I have been faulted for this. And thank you. Thank you for asking me that. In my first book, I write about childless versus child-free, because when I came close to menopause, my body was suddenly saying to me, well, shit, kid, it's forget about it. You know, you can't do it now. And I was in that wavering stage. And there was a moment where a friend of ours had a baby, and I went to visit them, and she was clutching that baby to her breast. And the amount of adoration and flowers and balloons and presents, the room was filled with clucking people and googling, oh, it's so cute, oh my God. And I looked and I thought, oh, I'm missing this. And then I rethought that moment, yeah, maybe, and it's surely a lovely moment. But wait a minute, what about my breasts? What about the aching that may happen after that? And wait a minute, what about the rest of my life? So that moment, that I call it a Kodak moment, that very often grabs us. And there are those Kodak moments. Look, to say that parents don't have wonderful moments is ridiculous. There are many, I'm sure there are, that I won't have. The first walk, the first kiss, the first I love yous, they did bombard my brain, but I realized it was not about having or not having the baby. It was about the choice was taken away from me, that my body now said, you can't. Sorry, you can't. Yeah. It's too late. So I've been faulted for that. It's on Amazon. There's a big thing that has that paragraph that says, I'm a fake, I'm a phony, I once wanted to have a child.
But I just think you're neither of those things. You're human.
Thank you.
And equally, with you seeing that in a parent and thinking, am I missing out on something? That's just a human question. In the same way that I am pregnant and I'm going, shit, am I doing the right thing here? Because that's just the nature of being human.
Yes, and I think parents very often, and rightly so, say, well, wait a minute, maybe, oh, I don't like this moment. Because they have regrets from time to time. Who doesn't have a regret in their life, you know? It's just, you have to kind of go back to what are the goals of your life? What are the realities that you have to face? Do you want to put in what it means to be a parent? And I did not. I did want to be a teacher. I did adore my students. I still do. Many of them are very heart connected to me. But I wanted to go home and listen to classical music and drink some wine and read a book and take a bath and just do my thing. And that was the push-pull until I realized that, why not? It's a great lifestyle.
Are you made to feel selfish in any situation because you chose to not have children?
Well, of course. That's the biggest thing that we're accused of. You're selfish. And my definition of what selfish is all about choice. I choose to care about myself. I know my limitations. I do not see myself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, caring for a child, which, by the way, becomes a teenager, which, by the way, becomes an adult, which, by the way, stays in your life forever if there's a heart connection.
Yeah.
You know, and there are too many estranged parents and children to refute that. But for me, yeah, it's a decent selfishness. It's not a bad selfishness. It's taking care of myself, my life, my choices. Not what society says is right, not what anybody else or hoping to be grandparents, which, by the way, is the icing on the cake of life. If you do not have those grandchildren to talk about, you have done something wrong in your life. You have done something wrong. Look at the obituaries. People will read obituaries. 3 children, 10 grandchildren. People go, what a great life. Whoa.
Do you know what? It's funny you say that because I was introduced to, well, it was somebody whose friend who had a friend and they said, I think this woman would be great for your podcast. She's child-free by choice. I think she was in her early 70s and she wouldn't come on the podcast. And one of the reasons was because she still gets such judgment and still gets such shaming around the fact that now she's not only is she not a parent, but she's not a grandparent.
And you know what? When you talk about pronatalism and grandparenting, so often, and I'm at the age of 77, where anybody who has chosen to be a parent, most of them have grandchildren. If I tell you the most sad stories about grandchildren and grandparent expectations of those grandchildren, in the very, very beginning when they're babies, there's a lot of interaction, they're needed to take care of them. Very often, yeah. The parents are going out of their minds. So they, if they're lucky and they live near the grandparent, that grandparent is there all the time. And then suddenly, the little child grows into a little boy or girl, and then into a teenager. And suddenly, the needs and wants are gone by too many. For those that have it, it's fabulous. The majority lose contact, do not have that interaction. Many of them are heartbroken. Birthdays are forgotten. Anniversaries are forgotten. I have a next door neighbor who hasn't seen her grandchildren. I don't even know how many years. And that's not just one story. To the ones that have it, it's wonderful. But we forget about the ones that don't have it.
Okay, so your life now, why is your life so great for being in a position where you are child-free by choice?
It isn't just now. It's all my life. I've had the option of doing what I want when I want to do it, as long as I've been healthy. Travel to me was yummy. I have been to so many countries, I can't even list them. And if I close my eyes, I can see the acacia trees in Africa as the sun went down. And, you know, watching the after effects of wildebeest being gored by a lion. I thought it would be awful, but it was just totally astounding. I've been in the hills of Switzerland and watched the beauty of the mountains with the cows. I've gone to Ireland. I've gone to Spain. I enjoy the travel experience. And so as a younger person growing into older age, I have those beautiful memories to last a lifetime. Other than that, you know what? Just being here, doing what I want to do when I want to do it. As an older person now, of course, I have so much to do with the child-free lifestyle and the books and my cruises, which we'll talk about. It keeps me constantly busy all day. And in a time of COVID, I know that as I reach more and more and more hearts, I'm doing something special for people. So it was just a matter of a lifestyle with unlimited possibilities. I can do what I want or do nothing. And you know what? Doing nothing sometimes is delicious. I can garden. I can dance. I can take a long bath. I could take a walk. I do have a dog, a little snarky chihuahua, and that is another whole. We call her a fur kid. You know, I mean, she has her needs and wants, and I have to take care of her. And I'm lucky I have a husband in my health. During the time I faced cancer, that was another moment where I began to worry, did I make the right choice? And that's in book two. My immortality raised itself loud and clear. What if there's nobody there to care for me? What happens if cancer takes me? My tree will just be bare and drop, you know? And yeah. Then I have to, you know, that's that before and after thinking. And I have to think, wait a minute. There are so many people whose lives I've enriched who are still in my life that are meaningful to me. I didn't birth them. I didn't raise them. But their love, and that love is forever. So it isn't just, you know, not having kids. It's the lifestyle.
So I've been bio-oiling my belly like no one's business. So I've managed to not get any stretch marks, which is amazing. But this morning, I have found stretch marks on the underside of my boobs. My boobs haven't even grown. They're basically a bit like PMT boobs. So they may be slightly swollen. Fucking stretch marks on my boobs. I mean, I wasn't blessed with great ones in the first place, but please, Lord, take them away. Do you ever feel like you almost have to justify it in the sense that, you know, you do have that kind of network of people around you and there are younger people in your lives, almost in a way that so that you can go, oh, well, no, I haven't had children, but I have these people in my life.
Yes. And that's a very astute question. I do feel many times the need to justify, because that question is asked of me constantly. And parents are not asked that question. We do not dare ask parents to justify, why did you want children? They would look at you as if, what kind of question is that?
So true.
When somebody says to me, I have something to tell you, I know what's coming next. I'm going to have a child. My question is always, oh, is that something you wanted? Because I don't immediately, in the past, they should say, oh, I'm so happy for you. Well, hell no. Is that what they wanted?
Yeah.
If they wanted it, okay. But, you know, I don't know. Did they choose it? Is it just something that happened? Is it a mistake? I don't know. But before, I used to say, oh, that's lovely. And now I say, oh, is that something you wanted?
How do people react when you say that?
They look at me like deer in the headlight.
No, but I think it's a fair question, because some people will find themselves pregnant who weren't planning on doing that.
Right. It's true.
Going back to in your 30s, when you read this book and you had that kind of epiphany moment that, like you said, maybe it was there before and you just hadn't kind of tattooed that stamp on of, yes, I'm not going to do the child thing. But how did you know 100%, you know what, this is not for me?
I think the words that Ellen Peck wrote spoke to my heart and my mind. By the way, when I was on 60 Minutes, it was my second marriage. My first marriage ended 3 years after I married him. And at one point, I thought I was pregnant. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, because the marriage was so God awful. And luckily, I wasn't pregnant. It was just a period that was missed or some nonsense.
Okay.
Luckily, believe me, luckily, because he's in the book. Don't worry. I tell the whole story about him. Ellen spoke to me. She devastatingly attacked that motherhood myth and said, no, you don't. It's not a biological, instinctive, maternal desire. It's just a choice. And like any other choice on this planet, choose wisely. It's not an easy lifestyle. And I think after my sister was born, I was 15. No other children between us because it was a second marriage. My eyes grew wide and then wider every day as I saw what my mother had to go through. And she was a very professional woman. She was the first woman in television who owned her own TV repair business, unheard of as a woman growing up for me in the 50s and 60s and 70s, not heard of. So when Robin came into my life and I saw day after day, hour after hour, what had to be done, not only with her, but with me. I was a teenager. They're ghastly to deal with. Just disgusting. And I was as disgusting as any other teenager on this planet. I knew it all. My mother was an asshole. You know, once you become a teenager, your parents are the assholes. And she had that and a baby. So her book set me free. It was a myth.
Do you come across women who are thinking they don't want to have children, but maybe they're on the fence?
Oh my gosh. So many are pushed and pulled.
So how do you give advice to those people who are like on the fence?
This is what I say. You need to spend time with children, all different ages, and not just babysit. If you're an aunt, take the child for at least a week, 24 hours a day. If you're a cousin of somebody that has a child, again, not just 2 hours, not just a day, a minimum of 7 days. And, you know, the parents love that because they have a chance to go away for a week. So they'll say, yeah, that's fine. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll do it. That's when reality hits. You know, one of my forever students had a little boy. It was her first child. She always wanted to have a child, so she had her little boy. She and I talk almost, I would say, every other day. And her reality has hit her hard because now she's getting, when is the next one coming? And she says very easily, never. It's been so hard on her, so difficult. She's terrific. Her husband is amazing. And together they are raising this little boy beautifully. But it's so difficult and so stressful. And of course, now with COVID, forget about it.
Mm. So on the last series, I met someone who decided not to have children, but does worry that they'll look back and have regrets. And I've met other people who are in a position where maybe they wanted to have children and then couldn't have children. So in your wise position, what would you say to those people who are maybe, you know, approaching a life without children? What does that look like?
Okay. So here's what I say. Parents may have regrets. We all may have regrets. The most important thing you can do for yourself, whether or not you're a parent, is prepare for old age. That can be accomplished with a good financial planner. Make sure that you have good insurance, savings that could help you. But that's not enough because we fear that being alone. So I always say, wrap your hearts around younger people. Connect to younger hearts. There are so many people out there who need love. And that love that's reciprocated is forever. I have so many of those students who have told me, you need me, we're there for you. But on the same level, I also had a good financial advisor and I had long-term health insurance. I think even you as a parent, you need to think about your future without children, even though that you may have children.
She's amazing, isn't she? You can tell she's a teacher because she praises you for your questions.
Yes, she does.
Which I think is really nice.
And you know what? I loved it when she said to
me, "That's a very astute question."
Yes. I felt like, you know, like nowadays, as a grown-up, you don't very often get somebody saying to you, "Well done for what you're doing. That was a good job." But I feel like Marsha throughout the interview gave me those little, "Oh, well done, you're doing a good job." And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And it also felt a bit like she was surprised you were asking such good questions because normally maybe people ask her boring ones. So she was like, this girl knows what she's doing.
I loved it as well because she said to me that at the ripe age of 77, it's not very often that she gets a first in her life anymore, but that it was the first time ever that she had been interviewed by a pregnant woman and she loved the juxtaposition of the fact that I was carrying a baby and she was like, no way to the baby.
Oh, yeah, but I do like she is still quite open to the fact that, you know, friends and people that she knows have got children and that's lovely and they have lovely moments. And I like that. She wasn't just like, nah, don't do it. My way was the best way. Her way was the best way for her.
Yeah, totally. But I did think she was flipping fabulous. And if I'm half that fabulous at 77, I'll be bloody thrilled.
She was so fabulous. I actually had to like try and imagine what she looked like in my head because I don't know what she looks like. And I was just envisaging this very glam, kind of slightly bohemian woman with like maybe some cool earrings on and good grey hair.
She recently, according to her Instagram, she recently bought a pair of really snazzy cowboy boots. And when I saw that, I thought, she's our girl.
That's it. That's the image. I can see it. And I bet she wears them with dangly earrings.
Do you know what? I don't know if she does, but I feel like there's definitely been a time in her life that she has enjoyed the dangly earring. If you want to see for yourself Marsha and her fabulous cowboy boots and possibly dangly earrings, you can find her on Instagram. She is at childfree_guru. And if you want her books, What? You Don't Want Children? Understanding Rejection in the Childfree Lifestyle, or Confessions of a Childfree Woman, A Life Spent Swimming Against the Mainstream, you will find them in like popular online bookstores. Enjoy. Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at @tobabyornot. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it really help us out, but it'll guarantee that nobody will come after you or your dog if you decide not to have kids.
Next time on To Baby or Not To Baby.
She came round with photographs and some details of the situation. And once I'd read that and looked at his photos, it was just, oh, I wanted him.